This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now, since the pandemic, it's understandable that lots of parents have chosen to send their children to schools by themselves rather than have to take the bus. But what's the larger impact of this?
Well, I mean, there are a few ways to look at this, right? Because the larger impact for everyone else sharing the road near schools is tremendous. I think anybody who lives in a school area or who has to drive past the school area at pickup or drop-off time is going to be familiar with how the amount of cars suddenly seems to have quadrupled. So that's one thing. But school bus drivers have also, many of them at least, have quit their jobs. And this is because of income stability during the pandemic. And so it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing at this point, right? Because on the one hand, you have people saying, well, I'm not sure buses are safe. I'm not sure they're the safest option for my children. And then therefore, buses aren't being used as much. And then you have people out of business. And then you have parents saying, well, I don't have a lot of options now to get my children to school. So it's a lot of things kind of going in a vicious cycle.
So that's what we're going to try and unpack. I think on the one hand, how to manage the increase in traffic as schools have reopened fully. But on the other hand, the shortage of bus drivers and school buses to mitigate this issue. So let us know, do you think school buses are important? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Chung Yi Fan, an independent transport policy analyst. Yi Fan, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, everyone. Good evening.
So to start off, what can you tell us about the use of school buses prior to the pandemic and the role they played in getting kids to school efficiently?
Well, school buses have been around for a very long time, for generations. I think they've been around since pre-Merdeka. Before pandemic, I think we have about 15, 16,000 school buses of various sizes. You have large buses, you have the small vans with 11 seats, ferrying children of various ages from the neighborhood, from communities to schools every day. And the typical journey will be, I think, less than 10 kilometers and maybe more or less 3 to 5 kilometers. And the way I look at it, there are two aspects of this. First, it is a commercial service for parents to send their kids to school. But it is more than that. I think school bus is also part of our social fabric in Malaysia. Nothing gives, you know, peace of mind to parents by having the school bus driver, who's someone he or she knows, auntie or uncle, who come every day on time to bring your children to school and bring them home safe. So it is something, important component of our society, I would say. And I think that the point we're discussing here is, until the pandemic hits about 2 years ago, everything changed. School bus drivers and operators, when a lot of them went burst out of service. And for them, it is not, for many of them, I understand, it's not only a job, it is also a livelihood for them. And I don't think many of them have other kinds of income other than this for many years. They have been the school bus drivers for their entire life. So it is a hard time for them, and maybe for some of the parents as well, who doesn't have any means other than to rely on school bus to send their kids to school. Yeah.
So since schools have reopened, right, what kind of impact have we seen on traffic, and how has that been affected really by the lack of school buses?
I think it varies from place to place. Certain areas, not so bad. From my personal experience, I do have a child in primary school. You have more parents sending kids to school, I think, obviously, because of pandemic, for the fear of sharing a vehicle with other individuals. But also outside of Klang Valley, I think in the more rural areas, there are many families who just do not have the means, do not have the vehicles to send their children to school. They still have to rely on school buses. So the impact on traffic on certain areas, it definitely increased congestions, especially I think in some of the urban areas. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're a parent as well. Can you share your experience ferrying your kids back and forth from school? What's it been like?
Well, it's been hectic, right? Everyone just rush to school before, you know, 7:30, you drop off your child, or, you know, and then you have to get to work. It's not a very efficient use of vehicle, because each parent normally bring one child, and if a school has only, let's say, 1,000 students, you will have almost 1,000 cars you know, rushing to a same place in the morning, choking up the road. And lucky or not, it is not like maybe 20, 30 years ago when we grow up, many of us walk or cycle to school. Many still does in outside Klang Valley, in some of these smaller towns. I think that's a very healthy way, but we need to be realistic and understand that in most of urban areas, walking and cycling to school is not a viable option for now, although that should be encouraged for the future, I believe. Yep.
There are also other bus routes, right, beyond the school bus service that could take students to school. That includes free bus services within Selangor and KL. How has that affected school bus operators?
Well, there's pros and cons, right? Based on what I observe and a little bit of my own research before, the free buses in Selangor, my bus and also in Kuala Lumpur to some extent, some of the routes are extremely popular for students and for pupils. Places like Taman Medan, which I live not too far away, you know, every day they relied on the free bus to go to school. So for parents and for the students, it is definitely very convenient and it is free. So it helps them economically. For school bus operators, they need to adapt. Or some of them are affected. That's the fact. But we have to look at this from both sides. Yeah. So in areas that's not served by school bus, but the role is taken over by free bus, that's not so bad. But there are many, many other areas, especially outside Klang Valley, there's just very limited transport options for children to go to school.
What other factors are at play here in terms of why the usage of school buses has dropped?
Well, the car ownership, for one thing, has increased, you know, by leaps and bounds over the last two or three decades. Car ownership in Malaysia is, you know, one of the highest in the region, if not in the world. So in many places, every family owns a car. So the use of school buses, definitely for maybe middle-class families, it is something that's getting less and less common. That's one thing. But I also noticed that as I alluded before, some parents and many parents still find a school bus an attractive option because it's not only convenient and it's all affordable to many, but also it is part of the neighborhood, having someone you trust to transport your kids to and fro from school, it is something that, you know, many people find comfortable and very useful. Yeah.
What are some of the main things we could be looking at to revitalize the school bus industry?
Well, the industry change and evolve over time. There are challenges, you know, every now and then. But looking at this, you know, some people say it is a sunset industry, you know, the demand is dropping, especially after hit by the pandemic. I think there are a few ways we can experiment and we can try. School buses now, especially in the urban areas, mainly consist of smaller vehicles, the vans that can penetrate very deep into the neighborhoods. These are not the long buses. So we know that the utilization of this vehicle outside the school hours are quite low. They are not being utilized fully. So can we find other ways to top up the income or revenue for these school bus operators? For example, some school buses we know are being used to, you know, in a licensed way, in a legal way, to ferry, to bring children for trips. But more than that, because now we are living in a tech society with, if enabled by tech, maybe the last mile, first mile connectivity issues in neighborhoods can be solved or at least can be partially addressed by school buses. What I mean is this, you can have school buses or school vans taking a few trips per day to bring passengers to the nearest LRT stations, for example. In the past, without technology and, you know, app, it is not really that feasible. But now the options are there. And I want to remind listeners, in other countries too, in the past, school buses or this bus kilang, the factory buses, were used for a certain period. For example, in Singapore in the 70s, when we don't have that many town buses, they are used and licensed and utilized to complement the larger public transport system. And I believe it deserves a serious look here, that maybe school bus can play a role not only in sending kids to school, but in the greater, you know, transportation system, transportation network of the country. Maybe you can start from the cities. Yeah.
We just have about 30 seconds. What would you like to leave us with?
Well, I hope the school bus operators out there after the pandemic, there's something that we and know the not only the parents, but also the government can really think out of the box and help them to weather the storm. The storm is almost over. So let's look at how we can, you know, save the industry and get them serve the communities again. Yeah.
Yifan, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
That was Chung Yifan, an independent transport policy analyst, weighing in on the traffic jams that are being caused by the shortage in school buses and school bus operators. Do send your thoughts our way. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.